following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's just minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And a good Tuesday morning to you. Randy Bushcutter, Damon Day with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. If you're wondering where our illustrious leader, Doug Duda, is, he is currently on his way. He's earned an all-expense-paid trip to Falls City for Falls City's Sacred Heart for a high school football playoff game that we'll have for you on our sister station, Classic. It's 98.9 Kennesaw at Falls City Sacred Heart pregame around 3:30. And if you've done the math, you kind of understand that Doug has to be on the road. Don't forget that later this afternoon, right here on ESPN Radio, Elm Creek will be at Creighton pregame, and that game will also be at 3:30, kickoff scheduled for 4 o'clock. So we've explained why Doug is not here, and it allows me the opportunity now to welcome Damon Day into the studios. Good to see you, Double D.
Good afternoon. How are you?
It's been a good week. It's been a good week for the Bushcutter family.
It has been. I enjoyed watching the I'll just get it out there. I enjoyed watching the YouTube video of your boy hitting that field goal.
That was I enjoyed that happening.
I can imagine as we were kind of talking before we got on, as a young father, I asked you, you know, did you have the speech prepared if it wouldn't have went through on how life, you got to pick your that's what I always kind of think about in situations like that, is some humility if he made it, and some pick me up if he didn't.
Yeah, when they're down you bring him up, and when they're up, you bring him down a little bit, and I didn't really feel the need to bring him down because it was kind of a neat thing to kind of go through. And actually, I was interviewed by a radio station from a cook that happened to know me. Rich Barnett over at KICX Radio in McCook is a good friend of my sister's, and so, you know, it kind of came out that, wow, that had to be interesting for Randy. So he kind of did an interview.
Did you have the call?
I was there, and actually, honestly, I was somewhat speechless. Don Lease was not
okay
after it went in.
Well, that's always good to have a good color man.
Yeah, he kind of filled in for me because I was like, you know, I want to hug somebody, and it's not really Don. You know, Don's not the guy I'm looking for at this moment to hug and to kind of celebrate with. But it was a neat thing, and we'll remind you that on our sister station on Classic Hits 98.9, that is where you'll find the Boone Central Kearney Catholic game on Friday, and we've got a myriad of volleyball from the state volleyball tournament. We'll be following Axtell, Grand Island Central Catholic, Centura, Kearney Catholic, Bertrand, Lawrence Nelson, St. Cecilia, you know, just a few. Geltner, we'll have just a few high school volleyball teams that we'll be following on our myriad of stations, but I could go through that entire schedule, but it'd be rather long with all those, and we certainly wish them all the best of luck as well. Staying warm out there with indoor baseball right now.
Yes, very much so, and I would be remiss if I didn't take this opportunity to thank all the veterans out there, it being Veterans Day, and all of our firefighters and police officers for all that they have done for us. My brother is a police officer, not in the state of Nebraska, but back east in Ohio, and I'm extraordinarily proud of him, and I just want to thank all the men and women that have fought for our country and protect us on a daily basis. I think that I think it's a shame we only do it once a year, but it is Veterans Day, and I definitely wanted to, on behalf of the UNK baseball program and the entire UNK athletic department, thank all the veterans for all that they've done for us.
I think people have done better over the several years. I think since 9/11, people have kind of understood the sacrifices that are being made. And I think we're in one of those times when people are more receptive to it. But even as good as it is compared to, say, the Vietnam era, as good as it is right now, still we don't do enough. You're absolutely right. We don't do enough to say thanks to the men and women who protect us both domestically and abroad, whether they're in the military or doing those things like running into burning buildings, running into places that most people run away from.
Exactly.
I took my hat. There's a lot of.
And bravery. I don't have the hero gene.
Nor do I.
Like obviously with my family, I feel like I would do anything. But the people who do that on a daily basis is just absolutely amazing to me.
Yeah, it's amazing that people are willing to do that. Do you follow every week, when they go through the Final Four, kind of the pairings that are set up for college football? Have you?
I religiously watch it. I'm a huge college football fan. Just love watching the competitive side of it. I don't like the darker side of it now with the Power Five, and I'm more of a traditionalist, and I don't like getting into the SEC, debate, and are they as good as they all say? And so I watch it very carefully, but I'm still stunned that you have these conference, I really feel like they really missed the boat with the four teams. I think it should be eight, and that's probably a thing for another debate. But why don't you just, everybody has a conference championship game. I still haven't figured out that if Mississippi State loses to Alabama this weekend, there's a chance that they could go play in the playoff for the national championship, but won't have to play in the SEC championship game.
And conversely, if they win out and then lose in the SEC championship game, I still think they'd be a Final Four team.
Right, and that's the kind of the whole thing with not having these conference champions. It sets up your playoff very simple. If you're a conference champion, then you get a chance to go play in the national playoff. If you're not, then.
Well, the problem is we have four power conferences and not enough spots.
Right now the Big Ten is not really a power of I'm one of the biggest Big Ten fans in the world, but let's face it.
You might very well be right.
The top Big Ten teams don't look like the top SEC or ACC teams, and I hate Florida State, and I'm not a Jameis Winston fan or a Jimbo Fisher fan, but those guys move and are playing at a pace. Now, I will say Ohio State made Michigan State look awful foolish, but I think Ohio State's early season loss to Virginia Tech, and I think that really Ohio State now has to be huge Husker fans.
Yeah. Yeah, they want them to look good.
Yes.
If and when they meet up in the in the conference championship game. We were talking with Damon Day, but somebody knows a lot more about college football over on the campus of UNK, and that would be UNK head football coach Daryl Morris. Coach, appreciate you joining us. Kind of a Tuesday tradition. How you doing?
Morning, guys. How are you?
I'm doing all right. By the way, do you have really any time to follow the Division I stuff? There's no time in your schedule.
Nothing more than what you get on SportsCenter sitting here in the office sometimes, but that's about it.
Yeah, that's what I
kind of... And you guys bring me up to speed. As I sit here and wait to come on the air, I'm all squared away with Jimbo Fisher and Winston now.
Yeah.
I don't like them guys either. There you go.
Well, Coach, hard to believe, but come this Saturday after your game with Emporia State, you're going to be wrapping up the 2014 season.
The football season, whether it be high school or college, I mean, it goes by pretty fast. And, it's unbelievable that we have 10 of the finest young men I've ever been around that are already going to wrap up their senior season here in a very near future. So, it's a little melancholy type time every year when that happens, but onward and upward, and recruiting starts and has started, and then we'll move on for 2015.
Coach, as a head coach myself, senior day is always the toughest of years, but it's also one of the most gratifying as a coach. And what will you remember most about this year's senior class? What will their legacy be?
Well, their legacy is going to be, just their willingness and their discipline and their commitment to this institution, this program, to stay in the program. When they came in, they were recruited to play in the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference, and we were going to be a dominant team in that league. And then we jumped into the MIAA and woefully underfunded for that. And they've just stuck in there with us. They've hung tough. They've continued to practice hard. They've been great team guys, great students. And, it's been a tough situation on them the last 3 years as they have become leaders in this program to be, you know, climbing the mountain that they're climbing every Saturday. That's been rough on them, but I congratulate their commitment. I'm in awe of it and love every one of them.
Have you heard from those guys over the last 3-4 years or so saying, Coach, this is not what I signed up for. I signed up for the RMAC.
No, I mean, because, you know, everybody, you're in athletics, and everybody steps up for the challenge, and everybody, you know, and they have done that week in and week out, and they've never faltered. They've never, not come ready to work. So, no, and you wouldn't expect them that. If they actually did that, you probably don't want them in your football program anyway. But, you know, it's just been a rough go for them. You know, they came into a program that was one of the most winningest Division II programs in the country, and the wins have been a little bit short the last 3 years since we got in the MIAA, and it's just unfortunate that they had to be the guys to, you know, do that. But they will know someday when we are competitive that they were the guys that really started the foundation, built the foundation, laid the first bricks in this program to help us get to a point where we were competitive.
Coach, this season, from a wins and loss standpoint, isn't what you were looking for, but from a competitive standpoint, from a growing standpoint, as a coach, you always know that there's going to be growing pains and those types of things, and this year, much more competitive and a lot more ball games. Are you starting to get the feel like your program's moving in the right direction, starting to feel?
Well, yeah, I do think we obviously are more competitive. Now, last Saturday, we weren't a very competitive football team, but there are some reasons for that we don't speak a whole lot about, but you know, we are more competitive. We have played teams tougher. We have been beating teams, you know, on the road at their place and with a young football team. So I don't think there's any question we're getting better. You know, how long is this journey going to take? I think that's a million-dollar question that nobody really has the answer for. I'll be here as long as I'm wanted here, and I'll be here as long as I think this institution is helping us move in the right direction, and I believe we are starting to do that as we speak.
Obviously, one of the bright spots has been Tyke Kojold, even with the tough loss, some newsworthy events with Tyke. He now has a single-season tackle mark of 118, breaking the record that he set last year. And again, he's only a sophomore. Plus, this week he was also named into the 2014 Capital One Academic All-District number three team, so it puts him in position to be an Academic All-American. Talk about Tyke both in and out of the classroom and what he does on your football field.
Well, geez, I mean, you just basically said it for me. I mean, he's the all-time leading tackler in the history of Kearney State Loper football, basically, you know, Kearney State UNK, and he's done it in probably the best league that we've ever played in terms of the level of competition week in and week out. Plus, he excels in the classroom. He's a captain on our football team. He's the premier team type player. Everything is, the team is first, he is second. And, yeah, he's just exactly what we need. We just need more of him, you know, more types of guys like Tyke, and we will be a competitive team in this league. But I've got nothing but admiration for the kid. His parents should be extremely proud of him. The town of Sargent, Nebraska should be proud of him because he's representing them very, very well.
He also represents the future a little bit. As we mentioned, only a sophomore, and we talked about the seniors and that sort of thing. Obviously, a fair chunk of your football team is going to be coming back next year. Talk about some of the important pieces that will be returning next year.
Well, I think, again, Tyke, you start with Tyke, and then you got some guys. You got Famous McKinnon in the secondary. You got Shy Harris that will be back in the secondary. Every free safety will be back in the secondary. So, I mean, other than Trayshawn Alexander, the only guy that leaves the secondary, and then you still have Peyton Lang, and you still have, you know, Nate Heinrichs on the defensive line. So there is going to be a good nucleus here, and we'll add some guys to that, and we'll bring some guys in at the semester and bring some guys in the fall and continue to try to build this program to where we have the depth, which is basically what we're fighting right now. It's a depth issue, and it's, you know, it's kind of, you know, you play a team like Missouri Western, for example, that pretty much lined up in two tight ends and put a defensive tackle in the backfield as a fullback and just kind of bought the ball downhill. We're not ready for that, especially when it's game 10 and we've played an MIAA schedule 10 weeks in a row. So we just got to get more pieces to the puzzle. We'll certainly miss Pete Trausch, and we'll miss Cole Manhart, and we'll miss, you know, kids like that, because it's difficult to replace those kind of guys. But, you know, that's college football.
I know the local paper kind of had in there that this was kind of a winnable stretch here between both Missouri Western and Emporia State. So it was probably a little eye-opening just how quickly things snowballed against you early on at Missouri Western. That long kickoff return to start the game, they got up on you 14-0 very early, and everything just kind of snowballed from there.
Well, you know, I'm sure to the average fan that, you know, they think, geez, I didn't see that coming. But, you know, we're down six defensive linemen. We've got some young kids playing in there. We don't have a lot of depth, and people that watch us on film can see that. So what they do is they load up their offensive line. They bring in two tight ends. They bring in a big fullback, and they just start running the ball downhill at you. And you can hold up to that for a little while. But after they start gashing you a little bit, you start bringing the secondary down a little bit to try to support the run, and it's a double-edged sword. Now they play action pass you, a guy gets by somebody, and they're running for touchdowns with the pass. So, you know, it's just a situation where 11 weeks in a row right now, our program is still in the stage of trying to develop the depth that we need to be able to play 11 weeks in a row and still be competitive as we come down the stretch. I knew that coming into this league when we announced that we were going to do this, move into the MIAA. I talked to my bosses about the fact that we did not have the depth to play in this league 11 weeks in a row, and that's coming true. But again, as long as we are doing things, not only I'm doing the right things, but my bosses are doing the right things, the institution's doing the right things to get us headed in the right direction, which I think they are, then I think we'll be okay down in the future someday.
Coach, Emporia State comes in. Last year they were an NCAA playoff team. This year down a little bit, just showing how competitive the league is from year to year. What is Emporia State's strengths and weaknesses?
Well, you know, I think they're a little bit like us. They had an injury to a very good quarterback, and he might play against us this week. He might not. I don't know. But, you know, kid broke his collarbone, and that seemed to have an impact on him offensively. But, you know, they're an MIAA football team, and you're right. They were a good football team last year. They're struggling a little bit in terms of wins and losses. But when you watch them on film, and when you know the situation that we're in week 11, they look pretty darn good to us. So they're going to be able to, they've got some scat backs in the backfield. They're still throwing the football a lot. They've tried to throw the football on just about everybody they've played. And then defensively, they're going to run pretty good. So they can run you down, and linebackers are going to flow well. So, you know, again, we need some good things to happen to us. We need some breaks. We need a couple balls to bounce our way, a couple tips to go our way for us to be successful against Emporia State.
Talking with UNK head football coach Daryl Morris. Coach, around 4 o'clock, the game will be over with. What is the process that then begins at that point?
Well, what the process is you got to wrap up your season. I've got a meeting in Kansas City about all conference stuff. We'll come back. We'll have a total squad meeting on Tuesday. We'll get our team ready for, pre-Christmas break and then Christmas break, and then get them back ready to and get them organized for winter conditioning as we get ready to transition from there into spring ball. So it's basically just getting them organized. We'll have a senior banquet for our seniors that are leaving our program on the 6th of December, and we'll say goodbye to those kids and then start getting ready for 2015.
We had Paul Plinsky on last week as part of our Loper Link last Wednesday, and he said on the show that he felt that the football coaches were feeling pressure. It gives me the opportunity to ask you the exact same question. Daryl, are you feeling some pressure?
Well, I feel pressure every day to try to get our football team better. Most of the pressure that I feel is probably, like most coaches, is self-applied. I want our football team to be relevant. I want our football team to be in the conversation in the league that we play in, and we're not right now, and that bugs me. So the pressure I feel is mostly from within. I know people in the community are a little frustrated and a little, some of them surprised, which kind of baffles me a little bit, because I've talked about this for many years now, what we were going to go through before we became a competitive football team. So most of the pressure I feel is self-applied, and the coaches, it's the same way for them. We're competitive people, and we don't like losing, and we're getting, we're doing everything we can not to lose games, but it wears on you after a while.
You mentioned that you've been talking with your bosses. Have you had ongoing conversations with Dr. Plinsky through the course of the season?
Dr. Plinsky and I, we see each other at games. games. We see each other in the hallway, but he's a busy guy and I'm a busy guy. So we'll sit down like every football coach does with every athletic director at the end of the season. We'll look at our program from top to bottom. We'll spend a few hours doing that, I'm sure. And he'll express his concerns if he has any, and I'll express my concerns, and you know, we'll map out a plan and a strategy to move this football program forward. If you've been to the Health and Sports Center here in the last couple of weeks, you can see Dr. Polinsky's impact on our football program as well as all the sports here, and that's encouraging. So, you know, I'm excited to hear what he has on the map and what he has on his agenda in terms of helping us move forward, and I'm looking forward to visiting with him about it.
All right, Daryl, I appreciate the time. Best of luck to you on Saturday.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, Daryl Morris, head football coach of the UNK Lopers. They have their kickoff scheduled for 1 o'clock against Emporia State. Currently, the Lopers 2-7 on the season. Obviously, not the year that people wanted, but I don't think a lot of people were expecting this team to win 8 games or anything like that. And I do honestly think that the talent level this year is better than it was a year ago. And a year ago, the record was very similar.
You know, I think that it's such a tough league, and I think that as a lot of sports at the university, we're just starting to now get our footing for what it needs to be successful in the MIAA and what resources that you need to have to be successful in the MIAA. And, I mean, the league's no joke. That's probably the biggest thing that I can – when people ask me about, you know, well, how tough is it? You can't even put into words just how tough it is week in and week out, and there's just so many different things that go into it, but – From a coaching standpoint, I mean, Coach Morris and his staff, no one wants it more than they do. No one works harder than they do at it. And unfortunately, this year the ball didn't bounce their way. But they're moving, they're growing, they're continuing to get better. And I still think that the there's brighter days ahead for our football program.
Well, there's going to be some decisions to be made there, and I wouldn't want to speculate what that decision is going to be. But certainly, Daryl's been a class act over the years, and we certainly wish him the best of luck. And I'm a Loper fan. I want as many W's as humanly possible out there, and it'll be interesting to see what happens here in the next couple of weeks. And I really don't have a suggestion about exactly where we go from here. I do know that if I was looking for a new irrigation system, I know exactly where I would go. I would go to T&L Irrigation Systems. Part of the major appeal to that is they don't have that long copper wiring that sometimes gets you kind of be victimized of a few things. It's all hydrostatically moved, so with the manual speed and direction control, the power control that they have, and the precision link, which is connected to the internet, you can control your entire irrigation system. Now, I understand you're not really looking at that right now. You don't need it to be operating right now in this kind of weather and this late in the year. But now's the time to start thinking about the direction that your farm is going to be moving in the future, and you should join the large number of people for a large number of reasons that are hooking up with T&L Irrigation Systems. Proven technology that works and is easy on you for a lifetime. T&L Irrigation Company, location in Hastings, and find them at TLIRR.com. TLIRR.com. T&L, proven technology that works and is easier on you. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
So you work late, golf, played ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just have made happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you?
as authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska. Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunny to partly cloudy skies develop today with a high of around 23. Winds out of the north-northwest will stay at around 10 to 25. For tonight, with partly to mostly cloudy skies, we'll fall to 9 above for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 18.
Welcome back to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Reminder for you that their new Midway Careers website is available. If you're looking for a new opportunity, you can just find them at Midway Careers. Just find them online at midwaycareers.com. They need product specialists, customer service representatives, technicians, and don't forget, of course, they got a great selection of cars. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. ThinkMidway.com has an entire list of what you need there. So not only can you get a great deal on a car, they'll also give you a great job to help pay for that new car. So you'll find them at ThinkMidway.com as well as MidwayCareers.com as well. That internet thing, I think, is going to catch on. And also catching on in the Kearney area is, and it's hard to think of it today when we actually probably have wind chill below zero, but we're going to talk a little whitewater rafting. You guys aren't going to be doing any whitewater rafting like...
Well, the water's white right now because it's frozen.
That's,
you know, but yeah.
Yeah. Kind enough to join us to talk about Kearney Whitewater is Carson Rao and Joe Risk. We are kind of heard from Joe with recognizable voice. He used to do a little radio business right in this very building.
That's right, I did.
It was a long time ago. Had that radio voice.
Thanks for having us.
It's good to have you. Carson, we'll start with you. What exactly is the Whitewater Association? What do you guys kind of about, kind of the membership, kind of where are you at with that?
Sure. We're an association that, first of all, is kind of a paddling club and just a group of like-minded people that are interested in outdoor recreation and water sports. But second of all, we want to bring a whitewater park to town, and we've got a tremendous water resource right here in our own backyard. You go to cities anywhere in America or anywhere in the world, for that matter. If you've got waterfront or riverfront, that is the feature presentation of the entire city. Everything's built around that, whether you're talking about San Antonio, Texas, or Breckenridge, Colorado. And we've had this resource right in front of us for 100 years, and we've neglected it, and it's potential for an incredible addition to Kearney Recreation, but more than that, economic impact and a real differentiator when we're talking about competing with other cities around the area for conventions and sports and things of that nature.
And Joe, I guess when I think of Kearney, it's the Platte River, but that's not what we're talking about in terms of the whitewater.
No, we're talking about the Kearney Canal, and most people recognize the spillway that is rich right outside the university, and it runs through Kearney all the way out to the Archway, and technically would connect with the Platte River, probably what 9 miles down the road or something like
right.
that.
Yeah.
So, but you guys have already making some utilization of that. I walk my dog right by Yanny Park, and the bridge on 11th Street in Yanny Park is really kind of a starting point for a lot of activities you guys have been doing, and quite a bit this last summer, but started really a couple of years ago. I saw a lot more people using the water at that point.
Yeah, one of the things that we've been able to accomplish is about a year ago we signed a landmark agreement between the city and NPPD to allow public access for recreation at the 11th Street access and below, which is a really cool and historic step because a lot of people thought that would never happen. And so in order to raise awareness about this project and also introduce people to a recreation that they haven't been getting access to in the last 100 years, we've done some public floats this year, and in July July, we did four public floats, so 4 hours on the water. We got 300 people from 18 cities and two states to come join us simply with an invitation on Facebook. And I think that's a pretty good proof of concept as to how the interest level, what kind of interest level this brings and what kind of draw it can be for other places around the area.
Carson Rao and Joe Risk joining us from the Kearney Whitewater Association. So, Joe, where do you go from here?
Well, this is our focus for today is to talk about the Give Where You Live event, which is coming up on December 4th. Excuse me. I don't know if you guys have spoken off a lot about the Give Where You Live event, but it's a 24-hour event from midnight to midnight on December 4th. This is big. I mean, this is supported greatly by the Kearney Area Community Foundation and is an opportunity for all nonprofit organizations in the area to raise some money. Now, we're at a particular place where I think Carson said a moment ago about, you know, the monumental agreement we made with the city for access to the canal was a good thing. We want to make sure that we do this right, and we want to make sure that we do it, you know, long term. We're looking at something that I use the word dramatic. I mean, I'm not being dramatic when I say the impact of this is generational. I mean, we can make a change to a canal that's been around 100 years in Kearney, you know, that'll affect, you know, our great-grandchildren will be able to enjoy this whitewater park. And so we want to make sure we do it right. In order to do those things, we have to consider private landowners, we have to consider the city, we have to consider NPPD, we have to consider the Corps of Engineers, we have to consider the environment, we have to consider so many things that as we drill down, we're unaware of. And so in order to do that right, we need to get an engineering team in to assess the entire canal, the entire project, find out what the expenses are of bank improvement, you know, where turns are going to be, where there's going to be whitewater features, where there's going to be landings, where there's going to be easement, you know, the list goes on and on. And this kind of assessment is a project that could range us anywhere between $12,000 and $20,000. So the Give Where You Live event, again on December 4th, is an opportunity for those that want to donate to the project to give and maximize their dollars because of the matching funds and other contests and support given by the Kearney Area Community Foundation.
And Carson, you kind of mentioned generational. When I saw you folks using the canal, it really was generational there because you had kids that, you know, literally were just coming out of diapers going down there with their jackets on and stuff, and their grandparents and maybe even great-grandparents going down the river as well.
Right. I like to pick on golf courses a lot. Not that I'm not a golfer. I love to golf. But one thing about golf courses are that they cost a tremendous amount of money in upkeep every single year. And usually the user field is reasonably small. Now, that's pretty wide-ranging compared to some other sports like BMX, for example, that might have a very small user base. We make a joke that our user base is every single person that's either male or female and between 1 year old and 80 years old, although we've had people older and we've had people younger. So, absolutely. We've seen entire families come out during our public events this summer. We had a youngster at 4 months old come out and join us for a two-mile run down the river with his father. So, very cool stuff.
And they didn't do that last year. That four-year-old didn't do it last
year. That's true.
Clearly not.
Yeah.
They float with their dogs, too.
Yeah, I've seen a few dogs down there as well. Mine walks and swims. It always jumps out of the boat. And Joe, you kind of mentioned this when you talked about having some whitewater features. Obviously, if I'm going down with my four-month-old, I may not really want to have a real exciting ride, if you will. And also, there's going to be people that want to have some of those features in there. Talk about how you're trying to make that work for both of those entities.
Well, you know, that gets into, you know, branches off of, you know, Give Where You Live and into, you know, the overall vision of the Whitewater Project. You can find an awful lot of that information on the Facebook page as well as information that we've linked to the Give Where You Live website that we have. But simply put, there'll be something for everybody, everything from flat water all the way through stage class 3 whitewater features, depending on which section of the canal that we're at the particular you know, a progression of the entire project. Up near the university, it's our hopes and dreams that would be more whitewater features up there. During the center sections of the canal, you'd be in your class 1s and 2s, which are flattened out. And then after you get to the Turkey Creek, the part where the canal, you know, merges.
South side of Yanny Park.
Right. You know, then that would remain probably pretty much the way it is, where the water, you know, remains relatively flat and you can just simply float you know, bounce off the shores and things like that for a couple of hours and have a great afternoon. It's amazing how, you know, when you're down there on the water, you know, with the trees and the, you know, wildlife and the plants that are on the side, how you completely lose the city. It's a hidden gem. I mean, it's a joy to ride down.
Yeah, I agree. Been down there several times. Carson, Joe, what have we kind of left off here? Obviously, we want to remind everybody about what's happening on December the 4th.
Right. Well, just one more time, Give Where You Live is on December 4th. I encourage people just to Google the words Give Where You Live. It'll take you to the RAZU website where there's a countdown timer and a list of all the nonprofit organizations that are going to be part of the Give Where You Live event. You type in Kearney Whitewater. It'll take you to our page. It'll explain so much more than we've had the opportunity to talk about today, as well as the different giving levels. This is important to us. And Carson started with, you know, the impact that it's going to have on the city and future generations and such. But, you know, those that are out there that really want to support this event, you know, it's time for us to get a little more passionate about it. But, you know, make the rubber meet the road and significantly increase the amount of donating we want to do to this project so we can get this assessment done and move forward, you know, so that we can, you know, present it to the city and to NPPD and the private landowners and make this thing, you know, happen sooner than possible.
Carson?
Yeah, and lastly, I'd just like to add, you know, for some people that are not familiar with these, with the concept of whitewater parks, these things are extremely proven conceptually. They're proven economic benefits. They're proven in flatland areas. Iowa's opening their third whitewater park now after not having one 2 years ago. And every single place they put these things, the benefits and the economic impact that it has so far outweighs the upfront cost. And then the very best part about these is, unlike every other type of sporting facility that there is, they don't require massive upkeep costs. Confluence Park in Denver has an annual economic impact of about $3 million, and they literally don't have a maintenance budget for it. That's pretty incredible when you compare the hundreds of thousands of dollars it takes to upkeep grass and facilities for almost everything else out there. Plus, the economic part of this thing is everybody can use it. You don't have to have high-priced equipment. You know, poor people can use it, families can use it, and it's something that really is a huge benefit to every community that's brought it in. And I just simply ask people, how many opportunities do you have in a lifetime to do something that's going to have an impact far longer than what we're able to stay around for? So,
nicely done. Carson, Joe, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having us.
All right, that's Kearney Whitewater Association. I want to thank Carson Rao and Joe Riss for coming in. And, you know, if you're heading out somewhere, these guys are trying to sneak out. If you're heading out somewhere and it's time to have a little bit of lunch, may I suggest to you the Kearney Chicken Coop. A lot of places say they're a sports bar and grill, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop, and they want you to save a little money on Tuesdays. So they're special from 11 to 4, which is going on obviously right now, a salad and a soda for only $7. Then from 2 to 5:30 this afternoon, get a special on appetizers, long necks. Also, they have draws they'll give you a good rate on. Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, best of both words, downtown Kearney. See them today at the Kearney Chicken Coop. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back after this.
Since the dawn of time, the land has been nurtured, first by the hands of nature and then by the hands of man. Farming is a way of life here. Today's farmer has a feel for the land, a knowing touch that shows in the riches of the harvest. And for years, they've depended on CHS Agri-Service Center to help them. CHS is a locally owned and locally controlled, so the people behind the counters and on the phones are the people you've known for years, people you can rely on. There's a CHS Service Center near you, and always here at chsagri.com.
United, we transform lives. It's more than just a slogan. To many in our community, it means the difference between healthcare, financial stability, and education. Through United Way's community programs, over 24,000 lives will be touched by your donations. The funds raised through the annual United Way campaign will help support 41 programs right here in South Central Nebraska. Please find it in your heart to donate to this year's campaign. For more details, log on to UnitedWaySCNE.org or call 461-8412. Give, advocate, volunteer.
At First National Bank, we believe customer interactions are based on relationships, not transactions. That's why we created First National Checking, to prove our commitment to you and the community. This is not a one-time offer, but a demonstration of our ongoing dedication to put customers first. No hidden fees, no surprises, no hoops to jump through. For honest banking with no strings attached, visit one of our offices today. First National Bank, member FDIC.
today. Buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Carney's Best Real Estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
To some, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service from seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Pro Team Design.
Today to remind us about Veterans Day. I want to salute all of our veterans out there. It is time now for a Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and the coolest topics. And we have the question of yesterday. If you were a major league pitcher, would you rather have A, Cy Young Award? Would you rather win the Cy Young? Or B, throw a perfect game? Let's talk to a baseball guy. Damon, which would you rather do? Which would you rather see Jabba do? How's that?
Cy Young is a, I don't know, they're both very, very cool. Cy Young is consistency over a season. Perfect game is that one catching lightning in a bottle. There's more Cy Young.
One magic moment.
Yep, there's more Cy Young winners than there are perfect game guys. So if it was me personally, I would go with the perfect game.
Really?
I would go with the one of, what, 23? There's 23 ever.
Something like that.
If I had my choice, I would like to throw a perfect game in the World Series.
Well, now you're being very specific.
Exactly.
Yeah, that Don Larsen thing. Be the second one since Don Larsen. Well, you'd been in the minority. Two-thirds of our voters said they'd rather win the Cy Young Award for the whole year-long deal versus throwing a perfect game. But again, I think you make a case for either one of them.
Plus, financially, Cy Young is the way to go.
There you go.
That adds a lot of zeros to the end of your contract.
All right, which of the three finalists is your pick for the American League Most Valuable Player? Michael Brantley, Victor Martinez, or Mike Trout?
Man, that's a tough one. I can't give it to Victor Martinez because all he did was bat.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just sacrilege. So I go with Trout.
I think Poppy won one a few years
back. Well, yeah, but
then sacrilege then. And according
exactly.
To
you. I just you're only playing one half of the game. I mean, yeah, if all I had to do was just sit there and hit. I mean, he didn't have to. I mean, there's a lot of wear and tear and just of getting up and doing your thing. So I don't believe in the DH. That's why they have Silver Slugger Awards. So I go with Trout over Brantley just because Trout's team was more successful than the Indians. I think that has to be.
Indian fan saying this.
Exactly.
Too,
right? I think that's why there's different types of awards. I mean, let's face it, the Most Valuable Player Award isn't truly the Most Valuable Player Award because there's a lot of different things that you have to take into account. This is just basically the perceived notion of being the best player in the major leagues or the American League. It's not really who's the most valuable player to their team because I think if you started to do your homework and you started to talk to some sabermetrics guys and whatnot with WAR and on base percentage, there's already a stat to say who's the most important to their team, and there's some math behind that that can't be really disproven. But I go with Trout.
I like the eye test, and that's why I don't. Sabermetrics is what it is, but I kind of like the eye test. And you talked about being a five-tool player. You know, the fact that Martinez, you know, a DH can't win it because they're leaving some of the tools on the shelf there. Mike Trout, I think, is the real deal, both offensively and defensively. So I'd say Mike Trout. But we only get a vote once. Well, you folks get a vote a lot more than we do on the Midtown Mart cooler question, just log on to our website, and you'll be able to vote either Michael Brantley, Victor Martinez, or Mike Trout, and then you can give us an idea. We want to remind everybody that tomorrow, our Husker Lunch and the Doug and Daddy Show will be on the road tomorrow at Cunningham's Journal, beginning at 11, and then at 12, Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal Star will be talking about Husker football and obviously previewing Nebraska and Wisconsin, which will be, you know, up to this point, probably the most important game of the year. Yeah, Michigan State was a big game. Don't get me wrong there, but this is a divisional game. And Nebraska beats Wisconsin, they certainly will be able to control their own fate in terms of making it into the Big Ten championship game. And again, going back to what we were talking about earlier before we started talking with head coach Daryl Morris, I think Nebraska doesn't quite control their own destiny. I don't think Ohio State quite controls their own destiny when it comes to getting into the Final Four, but they almost do. I really only think there's one scenario where there's going to be two SEC teams playing in there. I think it's just as likely that there's no SEC teams in the Final Four versus having two in there. And if there's only one, or, yeah, I'd say more than likely the SEC champion will be in there unless it's Georgia. For the most part, I think you're probably going to get one SEC team in there. Does have the door open for Nebraska, but I think maybe a TCU has to stub their toe. Maybe the Pac-12 has to kind of cannibalize themselves a little bit. They're going to need some help, but for the most part, I think Nebraska still, if they win out, I like their chances of playing in the Final Four.
This is the problem with the playoff, and I know that everybody's like, oh, debate does a lot for the sports, and now it's on the top, it's talking points for everything, but TCU, Baylor beat TCU. Baylor's loss was at West Virginia. And so I haven't figured out now when you're starting to talk about these head-to-heads and everything else, how does Baylor not ahead of TCU?
Well,
that's where the whole debate for me goes to with this whole thing on SEC West. As you know, is there going to be two from the SEC West? Is there going to be one from the SEC? I don't think that the Big Ten has a chance at all. I mean, a lot of things are going to have to break right for the Big Ten champion to get in. Whether that's Ohio State or Nebraska, to get into the Final Four is going to be very, very difficult. I think that Nebraska's chances to get to the Final Four took a bad hit with Michigan State losing like they did to Ohio State.
It would have been better off for Nebraska, yes, no question. Been better off for the conference.
Yes. Nebraska needed Michigan State to win. There was a lot of Husker fans rooting for Michigan State because, let's face it, Michigan State had a stronger strength of schedule, which is a big deal. Ohio State does not have that same strength of schedule.
But we heard on Cowherd and on Mike and Mike this morning that Ohio State's already getting a little bit of love.
Yeah.
Because they're saying, you know, we got a new quarterback coming in there. Yeah, they had a tough loss at home, but they're a much better team than they were when they lost to Virginia Tech.
And I think that's
a lot of love.
Yeah, but I think that's more with the pundits than you're going to get with this playoff committee. I think the pundits and the talking heads, I don't think, are near on the same page as this committee is to select the playoff teams. I think a lot of the conversations at ESPN and that we obviously all follow, I don't think those are the same conversations going on with this committee from what they're, you know, everyone was talking about Notre Dame being a 4 or 5. Well, the initial ranking came out before they lost to Arizona State. They were a 10. So I don't think that the pundits are quite matching up with, and that's what will be interesting to see on tonight, and that's what they've done a great job with this playoff is everybody's going to tune in tonight.
Yeah.
To kind of see which way this committee is starting to lean to do some things.
It's a little bit of reality television, and it wasn't television, but a great reality for the Hastings College Broncos football team last week. They beat Dort 30-21 Saturday afternoon, and basking in that win, a nice effort by the Broncos, is Tony Harper, the head football coach at Hastings College. Coach, thanks for the time. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you all for having me on.
Well, a nice win yesterday. Talk a little bit about your victory against Dort on Saturday. You guys have been kind of shaking off some injuries, but really played well.
Yeah, I thought the guys came out, for the most part, focused on that. There was some ups and downs during the game, that was a must-win for us. We needed to go up there and have some success, and it was nice to get Jason Gaines, our new quarterback, getting him some success there early in the game. He threw some nice balls. We were able to get out and get some points on the board early. Defensively, we had a couple turnovers. We gave up a little bit too much on the ground, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how ugly it is as long as you get the W. And it was pretty ugly, but we got the W.
Well, you had a 27-21 lead. Your defense forces a three and out. You get exactly what you need, and that is another touchdown to kind of ice the – not another touchdown, but a field goal to kind of ice the game. That's grutting it out. That's not ugly. That's gritting it out, isn't it, Coach?
Yeah, it was gritted, I'll tell you that. And, you know, I'm going to give Dort a ton of credit. They are a vastly improved football team. They are so much better than what they have been in the past. And then you throw in that double slot option that they run. It's pretty tough to defend, but it's nice to see the guys, you know, backs are against the wall. We got to get a stop. Then we got to get points in the red zone. And I think that's going to be a major key this weekend, is getting that stop defensively on third down and getting points when we're in the red zone. And we were able to do that on Saturday. This should give the guys some confidence for this week. We just got to continue to build on that.
Well, you did get plenty of defense. I see Joe, and I'm not sure I'm going to get his last name right, but Joe Talaki. Is that right?
That's as close as I can get to it, too, so you're pretty good.
All right. Well, Joe had 6.5 tackles, Kelly McBride with an interception. Your defense is playing some pretty good ball right now.
You know, we made that switch about 3-4 weeks ago, going into the Midland week. We weren't having a lot of success with the stack defense, and our defensive line we felt like was playing a little bit better than any other positions behind them. So, you know, it wasn't too hard. We just added one D lineman and took a linebacker off, and I think that's allowed us to allow the linebackers to flow. It's allowed us to get some pressure on the quarterback without playing a lot of man-to-man, because that's something we struggled with earlier. I think in the last three games, if you count fourth down stops and everything like that, we've had over 11 or 12 turnovers defensively. So we're getting the ball back to our offense, which I still think our offense is one of the better ones. As many times as we can get them the ball, we're feeling pretty good.
Coach, your defense gave up 319 yards. You mentioned Dort's offense is not your prototypical offense. How hard is that to kind of see a lot of offenses that are very similar, but then you see a Dort offense that's kind of a lot different? How hard is that defensively to make those changes?
Well, I'm going to be quite honest with you, because our defensive philosophy here, it's not rocket science, because I'm not exactly what you would call one of the most smart guys around. We tell the guys, hey, whoever's got the football, find it and tackle it. It's pretty simple like that defensively. Sometimes we want to make it too hard. But when you get into playing that double slot option like Dort does, then you got to play discipline. You got to play assignment sound football. And there's just sometimes we would over-pursue, or we took a bad angle here or there. And that comes from coaches, especially myself during the week. I got to put those guys in drills that are going to simulate the game as much as we possibly can. But again, you know, they hadn't turned the ball over much this year on the ground and some different things like that, so we were able to do that. And all the credit goes up front to our defensive line. Yeah, Joe T, who had a really good game. Casey Malafu on the opposite side had a really good game. I mean, we even threw our backup tight end in at nose guard this week, because we lost one of our other guys. And Joe Kanan came in there and made, I think he had 3, 4, or 5 tackles or something like that. So our defensive line is playing pretty well right now. We just got to continue to push and make sure we finish strong this week.
Talk with Tony Harper, head football coach at Hastings College. And, Tony, coming into town for the season finale is Nebraska Wesleyan. What are you going to face when they come to town?
Probably one of the most technically sound football teams in the conference. Fundamental technique. They do it like it's supposed to be done. Their offense, their defense, their special teams. I mean, Coach Keller, he's the dean of the GPAC. I think he gets a little aggravated when we call him that, but he's been in the GPAC and the old NIAC longer than any of us. His guys, they're just well coached. You know, you got Coach Kroom over there on the defensive side of the football. I got a lot of respect for those guys and their staff and what they do. You know, they're going to bounce around in and out of different defensive fronts. Their safeties are extremely aggressive. They're good. They got an All-American D lineman in Latimer. He's a good football player. Their offense, they'll go from 22 personnel to an empty set. So they're as tough a team to prepare for defensively as anybody in this league.
Coach, season winds up this weekend with Nebraska Wesleyan. What's next step? Obviously, there's recruiting, but what's on the horizon for the rest of the year for your football program?
Well, like you said, number one's recruiting, but I think before that, you got to solidify the guys you got on the team right now, number one. And those, not to put anything off or anything like that, but we got to take care of the guys that are here. We'll finish this game up on Saturday. We'll go to the conference meeting on Sunday. We'll have a team meeting on Monday, and then all next week I'll meet with every single returner that's coming back. And we're a fairly young team in a lot of different positions, and it's about making sure our guys understand, okay, fellas, you're here, you got to make sure you're getting a class. You got to make sure you're doing what your professors are asking you to do. You got to get your grades up. You got to make sure you handle all that business. You can't put anything off to a week before finals or anything like that. You got to finish this semester stronger than you started this semester. And we got to make sure we're clear with the guys. Okay, fellas, here's our expectations. 1 week after the season's over, bam, we're in the weight room. We're working out. We're preparing for the 2015 season. So I think, obviously, recruiting, like you said, is a big, big, big priority, but you also have to take care of the in-house stuff. And I think that's one of the reasons this year we've seen a lot more success than we did last year, is because we focused on ourselves and didn't let a lot of outside things interfere with us.
Final question for Tony Harper, head football coach at Hastings College. Tony, obviously, who you're not meeting with next week is going to be all those seniors. Talk about the young men that are going to be leaving your program through graduation and the impact they've had on your program.
I tell you, you can't say in words the impact these guys have had since, you know, we took over as a coaching staff 4 years ago. We took over in January, early January, right before the signing period. And this senior class is our first class as a coaching staff. So not that they're more important than everybody or less important than anybody, but there's just a little extra feel for these guys because a lot of us as coaches haven't been around to see a class through all 4 years. And there's a couple of guys on here for their fifth year. And there's just a lot of emotion. There's a lot of ties with these guys. And we got to make sure now we don't lose sight of that on Saturday, but we also got to make sure we don't just focus on that. We got to focus on Nebraska Wesleyan. But this senior class, I can't say enough good things about them. They're great kids. They're great young men. They've done great things for this program, Hastings College, and the community itself. And that we're going to miss them, but you know what? We got one more week with them, and we're going to have some fun and hopefully play some good football on Saturday.
Well, we're rooting for you, Tony. Best of luck to you on Saturday afternoon against Wesleyan at 1 o'clock.
All right, thank you all.
All right, that's Tony Harper, head football coach at Hastings College. Don't forget that the Hastings College-Nebraska Wesleyan game will be on our sister station, KHAS. Mike will have the call for you from Lloyd Wilson Field. And again, kickoff is scheduled for 1 o'clock. It's time for us to take another break. We'll wrap everything up here on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Crete & Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Crete & Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Kroll Agency and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, two names you know and trust. With locations in Hastings, Roseland, Kennesaw, and Minden, Kroll Agency has simple health insurance solutions for you, your family, or business. As an independent and authorized producer of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Kroll Agency has the individual health insurance or employee group plan you need. Kroll Agency is proud to be a Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska Diamond Broker. Visit them at Hastings, Roseland, Kennesaw, and Minden.
Reason for weekends is at Buzz's Marine and Carney. Whether you want a fishing boat that can deliver a great time for the whole family or a tournament-ready fishing rig, fish from a smoker craft, America's first family of boats powered by Yamaha Marine.
I meet my buddies out on the lake. We're headed out to a special place we love.
From the huge live wells and casting platforms to the smooth, stable ride, smoker craft boats are the best value on the water. See the lineup today at Buzz's Marine, celebrating 50 years of trust, 5th and Central Carney.
Let Godfather's Pizza in Hastings do some of the cooking for you this holiday season. Do you have family coming to visit or a holiday gathering planned? How about ordering a Godfather's Value Deal to feed your group? Call ahead and Godfather's will even deliver it for you. For more info on our value deals or for delivery, call 461-0386. We're open Thanksgiving Eve until 9 and closed on Thanksgiving Day. Happy holidays from all of us at Godfather's Pizza, located at 14th and Burlington in Hastings. And remember, we have gift cards.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
The annual Gateway Farm Expo, November 19th and 20th at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds, is bigger than ever this year, with an additional building full of exhibitors ready to help your ag business succeed. Enjoy free lunches and entertainment, and register for a chance to win a new Polaris Sportsman 400. Sponsored by Exchange Bank, Mid-States Irrigation, Landmark Implement, and Heartland Bank. The 2014 Gateway Farm Expo in Kearney, coordinated by Kappa Co-op, November 19th and 20th.
It's the Gateway Farm Expo!
The postseason continues Tuesday on our network of stations and PlatteRiverPreps.com. Tuesday afternoon, it's the Class D State Quarterfinals on Classic Hits 98.9. Kennesaw travels to D2 defending state champion Fall City Sacred Heart. And on ESPN 1460 and 1550, Elm Creek is at Creighton. Pre-game at 3:30, kickoff at 4 for both games. And then the state high school volleyball tournament begins Thursday with Kearney Catholic Boone Central C1 semifinal football Friday. It's all here and on PlatteRiverPreps.com.
Welcome back here to the Doug and Daddy Show. We're kind of making that transition from football to basketball season, and kind of a traditional kickoff to the high school basketball season is the K-Town Classic 3-on-3 basketball tournament that is every year at Kearney Catholic High School. It'll be this Sunday beginning at 12 noon, and I know for a fact, because I know the registration guy, that would be me, if you get your registrations in today or by noon tomorrow, you'll still be able to get your t-shirts at that point. And it is kind of our cutoff deadline for all the registrations, but if we don't have it by noon tomorrow, won't be able to do a t-shirt, but we might be able to filter in for a day or two in there. In any event, if you're looking for a registration form, just go to kearneycatholic.org, kearneycatholic.org. It'll also have some email information for me to be able to email that to me. I understand there's no mail today because of Veterans Day, so obviously you won't probably be able to get the check-in by tomorrow, but that won't be a problem if you can contact us via email. And again, the registration form to start all this off will be kearneycatholic.org. Grades 4th through 12th are playing. $20 per person is the registration fee. There's no cover charge. There's no gate fee at the door. And again, if we can get the registrations in by noon tomorrow, we will get you a t-shirt. So make sure you have your shirt sizes on there as well. And again, this is a fundraiser for the Kearney Catholic High School Activities Association. Registration deadline tomorrow at noon. And again, for a registration form, just log on to kearneycatholic.org as we're making that transition to the basketball season. Obviously, football playoffs going on. We mentioned that we have a couple of games on our myriad of stations. Elm Creek and Creighton will be right here on ESPN. Pregame around 3:30. Kickoff from Creighton will be at 4 o'clock. And on our sister station, Classic Hits 98.9, Kennesaw travels to Fall City to take on Sacred Heart. And again, pregame will be at 3:30. Kickoff will be at 4. And there's more high school football for you on Friday with all the volleyball that will be going on starting on Thursday as well, as we'll be following, I think it's 8 different schools from around the area. Giltner, Sutton, St. Cecilia, Bertrand, Lawrence Nelson, Kearney Catholic, Centura, Grand Island Central Catholic, and Axtell. All of their games will be on either ESPN, Classic Hits, KHAS, or The Breeze 94.5. And again, we'll be following all that on Thursday. And then on Friday, we'll have, again, the next round, as long as those teams are winning, for volleyball plus high school football. Boone Central, Newman Grove at Kearney Catholic. Pregame will be at 6:30. Kickoff will be at 7 o'clock. And Damon Day, I want to pick a fight with you real quick. And here's my fight, and I'm picking with you, and that is this. You say that more teams should be in the playoff. I believe that the best regular season in any sport is in college football. If 8 teams were getting in, nobody's paying attention to the ratings right now because there really would not be any of this drama. There would not be near as much importance. We know there'll be 2 SEC teams. Now there's 6 spots. They'll go to everybody and blah, 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 blah. I think there's a tremendous amount of interest in the regular season because there's room for only 4 and there's 5 major conferences.
And really, that's not really picking a fight, because I completely agree with you from the standpoint of, if from a fan standpoint, you got to love it. You got to love being able to tune in on Tuesdays. You got to be loving, hey, it's such a conversation piece. series. I guess the coaching side of me says, hey, get to 8 conference champions, the 5 conference champions go, and then you have 3 at-larges. That's just kind of more of the coaching side of getting more teams in that are probably worthy of it. I'm a big fan of the believer in the conference champion thing. I think if you win your conference, that means you're the best in your conference, and now you can go on and represent that conference. I don't like the debate because is the SEC West as good as everybody says? Because if you look at the scheduling, their scheduling is not that much stronger than some other teams, except for they're all highly rated amongst each other at the beginning of the season. And so I think that there's a lot of debate from that standpoint. But from a fan standpoint, there is no better regular season. There is, I mean, when you talk about NCAA basketball, everybody only talks about NCAA basketball for what?
For the tournament.
It's for exactly. They talk about
and that is the different animal. Because
right.
What's nice about that tournament with the field of now 68 in there,
right.
That Southwest, the SWAC champion, the
yes.
Southwest Athletic Conference champion gets in there.
Yeah, you're looking up, where's Coppin State? You're looking up where, you know, where is Northeastern State and some of these different places. And so they're definitely two different animals, but similar from the standpoint of fans drive the bus. Fans for all those sports. And I think really, and probably more so moving forward with this playoff is I'm very interested to see how it affects the regular bowls. I don't think it's going to affect it at all from the standpoint of we've had the BCS and it hasn't affected the other
bowls.
Well,
and I like the way they're doing that because there are 2 bowl games. You're
right.
Going to play a bowl game. The winner of that game gets the bowl championship trophy, the trophy for that Rose Bowl, Sugar
right.
Bowl, whatever's being used that year. Plus, then you get to play for the national championship and there's trophy in that game as well. I love the way they've done that because it does make those traditional New Year's Day bowl games, and now they're on New Year's Day again, those traditional New Year's Day bowl games, that is a big deal. And I like the way that they have it set up. I don't think we should change it.
It's basically the BCS plus one. It's just the plus one.
Yeah.
That's all they've made it out. It's really just the same BCS top 4, and then it's the plus one that next game.
But we've humanized it.
Yes.
It's the
yes.
eye test and not just computers, which I think is probably a pretty
yes,
good deal.
Yes, very much so.
Hey, again, we don't want you to forget that tomorrow the Doug and Daddy Show will be at Cunningham's Journal, as we'll be talking with Steve Sipple about this time, about Nebraska football, plus our Husker lunch tomorrow at Cunningham's Journal from 12 until 1 o'clock. Join us then, as Steve Sipple will be joining us. Damon Day, appreciate your time, man. It's always
Thank
good
you.
To see you.
Always.
Do your best to stay warm. And again, if you've not already done so, take a few moments today and think about what the veterans have done for us on this Veterans Day. Don't forget, high school football playoffs tonight, this afternoon, right here on ESPN and on our sister station, Classic Hits 98.9 FM. From the Doug and Daddy Show, don't forget, join us tomorrow at 11 over at Cunningham's. We'll see you then. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.